B-Pod Studios.
Think that we think we're superstars.
No. We get kicked in the reality nuts about once a week.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
On December 9th, Tutcher and Rich are returning to the Wilbur Theater to help ring in the holidays.
Hey, you fired up?
But this time, they're bringing a man whose Yuletide cheer is always on swoon.
The Big Bang Clock.
Brandon Merriweather, the Big Bang Clock himself, will finally get to hit the eggnog with Waldick once and for all.
Waldick, well, yeah!
Tutcher and Rich present A Very Merriweather Christmas at the Wilbur Theater, Friday, December 9th.
Act like little kid.
But Brandon's not the only friend they're bringing. Oh, no, they're bringing an assload. Live on stage with Tutcher and Rich, a special performance by the one and only Esoteric.
Look at that, enter the chat. Enter the ring and put your head through the mat.
Fred, Rich, Wallach, Nick, Dan, Mike, Joe Murray, Bird, Brandon Merriweather, Esoteric, and just maybe a few surprised ghosts of Christmas past.
Merry Christmas, bitches!
Tutcher and Rich present A Very Merriweather Christmas at the Wilbur Theater, Friday, December 9th. Mm-hmm. Tickets on sale this Friday at thewilbur.com.
Reindeer, go back up,
All right. And the pre-sale for that is today at 10 a.m.
Yep. And the code is Hey Guy. One word. H-E-Y-G-U-Y. Because Hey Guy's Hey is too long. Just the first six letters of Hey Guy's Hey. So it's Hey Guy.
Hey Guy.
Yep. And at 10 o'clock, you can go to thewilbur.com and get first lick at the tickets. People are asking if there's going to be a VIP experience as well, and that is an absolute yes.
And if you are a longtime fan of the show, you are going to want the VIP experience.
Yes, no question. And what does that include? It includes A, great seats. B, you get meet and greet after the show, which will be obviously a lot of fun.
And if you, again, are a longtime fan of the show, the meet and greet, you might make a friend for the evening.
It will definitely be worth it. There's no question.
Yeah, there's there's someone who might be there that is that's just going to be looking for companionship.
So 10 o'clock this morning at thewilbur.com, promo code HEYGUY, one word. And then you can get in, and it only lasts several hours, and then their actual sale goes on Friday. So hooking you guys up, the true fans who listen to the show.
All right. So you guys, you got some friends there that are single, right?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, of course. As do I. And I've become interested in what they're doing,
yeah,
and how the mating process is happening now. And so what is basically going on is it's like if you were in prison for 30 years and then you tried to buy an airplane ticket, like, or let's say 40 years, like you had to go to like the bank and get the cash.
Yeah.
And then you had to go to like the ticket counter or whatever and buy the ticket.
Yeah.
And they handed you a paper ticket. And you had to hang on to the ticket. And meanwhile, everyone's on their phones and they can like buy them in 10 seconds.
Sure.
So my friends are on these day naps.
Uh-huh.
And the game has changed completely, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
There is everything that I would be good at on these dating apps is rendered completely inefficient.
Oh, yeah.
Number one. You were judged immediately on looks. I can't have that. believe it or not, I can be charming and funny. I can make women laugh.
Right. If you were in the position of your friend, right. Yeah.
Yes. If I was in a position, but like when I was single, you know, I could go out and I could meet a girl, and at first she might be like, who's this gross dude?
To win him over.
But then, you know, you start talking to him, you joke around, you're a little self-effacing, they start laughing. The next thing you know, maybe you're not so bad. And you know, women are more intelligent emotionally than men, so they see that you get kind of better looking in their eyes if you're funny. You know, maybe they see that you got a nice watch on or something, and they go, well, the guy may have a couple bucks. You could buy him like drinks, and then you know, maybe they say the guy's got a couple bucks. That is all out the window.
You're not granted that. It's almost as if someone walks in a bar and there is a freeze frame of everyone sitting in there and they go, that one.
Yes.
That
one. And you are to write like clever sayings on this thing, into which you cannot detect sarcasm. So I would be a dead man walking. I mean, I rely almost entirely on sarcasm to project humor.
So how would you fix that? Like, if the first thing that they see in a swipe left, swipe right type of world is a picture, and you say, okay, I'm not 100% confident because I'm going up against these dudes with their shirts off.
Well, first of all, let me run down from what I've seen from my friends, the dating apps.
Okay.
Match.com has a weight limit, and it's about 300. Not good. Then there's Bumble.
Mm-hmm.
But Bumble, they just go like make a snappy introduction of yourself. And who knows what the hell to put there. I don't know what the hell to. I mean, I talk. I want to talk. I don't want to write out a snappy thing about myself.
So hang on. So that they see a picture, but then there's like a witty thing that is on the picture.
Yeah, you were like
a caption.
Like girls don't have to put anything witty. Like girls, like I want to go to Rome. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then like or like, you know, yeah, like yeah. Like I love dogs.
I love traveling dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, yeah. Yeah. You know, like, what do you got to do?
Yeah.
So, but for people like me, if I happen to be single, what I would have to do is I have to think of something I have to put three sentences up there that would usually equate to a half an hour of talking to someone. And I can't, and because the person's obviously looking at the picture and completely disinterested. But if there is a chance that they could see underneath the picture that there was something, then you would go, you have a chance.
You have to put in basically a written equivalent of a record scratch, something that completely is disruptive.
Yeah.
Just put, you know, you should put, I'm a total creep and you should avoid me at all costs.
Yes.
And that's it. Because that is a record scratch. Yeah, they stop and they go, whoa, who is this?
Because you're also competing with like guys with their shirts off. And at the end of the day, the guy with the shirt off wins. In fact, I think I have pictures of me with my shirt off from like 3 years ago that if I was single, I would have to put up there just to show like, hey, I have my shirt off. Like, it's not a total disaster. It's fixable.
So, I'm fixable.
Yeah. Like with a little motivation. Okay, this is fixable. This don't worry about it.
That's your quote, Fred. Sorry, I'm fixable.
That's right. I'm hopeless, I'm but fixable.
But then there is a site called Hinge, which is from what I've seen from my friends, a lot better. And in that one, you get to they give you like a bunch of questions and you answer three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they allow you to be funny.
Okay.
Kinda.
All right.
But that at that point, to my understanding, Ridge,
uh-huh.
is that the woman will then either like something you said or your picture.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. But then you are thrust into this world of texting.
Oh, yeah.
And so... It seems to me, from my friends, that there is a, you know, you got friends, too, with doing this stuff.
Dude, I do.
It's all about the friends.
It's all about the friends.
You got to have friends.
Yes.
And so from that point,
yes,
it seems like there are many hurdles to climb. First of all, you're talking on an apparatus. It's really like this is the future. You're talking on an apparatus to someone you don't know.
Okay.
But then I would imagine you have to get like a telephone number, which is a whole pain in the ass.
Yeah, right.
Then I would imagine that you start texting. Now, people that have been single throughout this whole process are like my friend Dave in Chicago. Just these masters of texting.
They've gotten good at it.
Like it's unbelievable.
Right.
He'll go, Fred, I'm unbelievable. He's like, I'm unbelievable at it. But he's like, but like me. He used to have to finesse on the phone because he's not like Tom Selleck or like even Elliot Gould for that matter.
Well, then who is?
But if you met Elliot Gould, I mean, you'd have to sit down and like, you know, you'd see his collection of books and you'd know that he was very he was up there. But so this hurdle is that you have to get the number, and then I would imagine then there's a lot of texting, because now and a lot of our audience is going to be, no kidding, old man. That's why I told you before this is old man yelling at the cloud. This isn't getting Amazon Prime. This is much different.
Yes.
Then there's this whole new skill set of being able to text and be funny. But every sarcastic remark can be misconstrued.
And instantly the conversation can just disappear.
Right. And that's another thing, is that on text, instantly a conversation can disappear. Yeah. There's no way to dig yourself out of a hole. So for some of us that have friends that are single, who had refined their finesse, they've refined the way they finessed a woman enough verbally to have success in the dating pool, to show your best foot forward, like I have money and I'm funny, like these are the two things.
Come and get it.
But
should have like cash in one hand and like a clown horn.
Well, that's
the
thing is that
I've tried that, doesn't work,
because I would become so frustrated with these sites. I'd be like, what are you doing? You live in nowhere and I have money.
Does your friend have any photos with famous friends. People?
Yeah, but my friends look pretty bad in the photos.
Does your friend have any photos like working in front of a giant crowd of people who are there to see him?
Yes, but then that my friends would have to take pictures of a picture, and I think that would come off.
Take pictures of a so there's nothing that they can use digitally? Does your friend have a friend who has a picture of your friend standing in front of a crowd of people?
Friend has a friend with a picture, but that friend might not want to give my friend the picture.
All right. If I know your friends, I think I know a friend who will give you a picture of that your friend standing in front of a crowd of people.
Okay.
So confused.
They were there to see your friend.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Please.
But I would like to know, I'm curious, you know, what guys do who might not be like your, six-pack Chad.
Right.
You know, like someone like that. What they do to get success on these dating apps. Okay, is there a trick? Is there some sort of trick?
You also, I would imagine, have to have a picture of a dog at some point.
Well, dogs, I heard, are number one.
All right. Stacy, go ahead.
So I'm on have been at one point for the last 3 years on every site you just mentioned. And I look at the picture, but I focus on the height first.
Thank you.
And then
my friend is 6'2".
Okay. And then I look at the location, because you get people from New York, and I live in Rhode Island.
Okay.
And they want to meet. I'm not driving to New York.
Right. Of course.
You're not worth it.
Well, that would be desperate.
Right.
That would be desperate.
But then you look at, do you have a job? I'm self-employed, or I'm a driver, so you're an Uber driver.
Right.
So you have zero money, so you're looking for me to financially keep you. That's not happening.
Right.
I have a son.
Okay.
And I have a full-time job. I work, and they want you to be at their beck and call.
What has hooked you?
How has someone gotten you to agree to go on a date with them?
Usually it's when we get to the messaging part. I'm a very sarcastic person. So if they can make me laugh or some type of a sarcastic comment, usually they can draw me in that way.
You could see how that goes sideways, though. You could see that a sarcastic comment could be misconstrued as just being mean or something of that nature.
Absolutely.
So you understand that's a talent that has to be acquired. It's a talent that has to be honed. It's not something that you can... All right. Now, I'm not. What's his problem? No, it's not you. It's not you, Stacey.
Not you. There's someone on the line.
It's not you, Stacey.
No, I understand.
It's someone from Rentham calling in. His name is Scott. So how many times have you had a successful hookup off of these sites? And what site do you prefer?
I just went on Match.com.
Oh, get off of that.
Yeah, I got to get off that one. I think I really haven't had any success with any of them.
No.
Yeah, all right.
So I wouldn't mind talking to like a guy who has like gotten success, like what some of his tips are. You know what I mean? Like is there somebody who's mastered that? There's got to be someone who's a master of this.
Dan, you have mastered the dating apps.
Yes. So I have a friend also. He's 47. He is 6'2". but he has a platform. He works in radio, and all you have to do, have a little bit of money. That's it. Some girls just want to be taken care of. Funny, you just got to get by those six-pack guys, which is so difficult. But if this friend of yours happens to work in radio and have a huge platform, a lot of girls like that. And you learn that when, I mean, your friend learned that when he worked at 99X. Yeah, they
My friend never worked at 99X, but 99X was its own entity. 99X, there was no need for that. At WBCN, if my friend wasn't married,
I think your friend to get attention needs a showstopper of a photo, one that's like, whoa, this guy obviously does something fairly, like, you know, big that people like. I think you have a picture of them, you know, in front of a crowd of people who went to see him.
Okay.
Name on the screen behind.
Does my friend have a? Does his friend have a photo of
his
that
friend? His friend does have a photo of that friend. I'm assuming so. Yes.
All right.
Okay. Because my friend doesn't have that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Yep. But there's got to be some sort of hack as well for you to be able to. Other than that, like for you to be able, or for your friend to be able to get, you know, some sort of instant reaction.
Yeah, because it is a it's a skill set that has to be developed.
It has to be. And I bet there's people who like probably aren't good at the dating part of it, but are good at the get going on a date part of it, like getting dates lined up.
See, because that's the thing, is that if you grew up when we grew up, like, that's you, everything you did was to finesse the date, to finesse the opening, which you had time in your mouth. You verbalized.
Sure.
And then the date is easy.
It's a mystery method. Mystery method you could just throw in the trash, because they'd see the guy with the Cat in the Hat and the glow sticks, and they'd say, go to hell.
Yeah, right, you know? My friend does that. He does magic tricks for all the ladies.
You know, your friend should do that. Just make a video of you, like, doing Blackstone's magic kit and impress them.
I mean, how could it fail? No, the date is not a problem. The date is a slam dunk.
Yeah, once
my friend sits down across the table from a woman, that's not going to go badly.
Yeah,
it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. It's the whole typing things out that is entirely annoying.
You have full phone lines and one person who works here with dating advice.
Well, I don't know.
Where to go?
I don't know.
You know what?
Maybe we bring this up another time. I mean, do you want me to take Scott from Rentham?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to hear it. I'd definitely like to hear his advice.
That's up to you.
Scott, hello.
Hi. Hey, I caught this mid-segment. What's this about? Is this about Dan Roach?
Yes. It's about Tom Brady. He's trying to...
Seriously, could you imagine, like, Pam threw freaking Roach out of the house? What would his attractive line be? Like, hey, I dig this. Other than baseball and Disney,
he would end up marrying, like, the bartender at Applebee's. He would be there every day, and fall in love.
He doesn't need an app. He just needs to go down to Mohegan Sun and plow through that late night crowd.
I mean,
old ladies love Dan Roach.
He would never have to wear a prophylactic.
Not late night. Well, by late night, I mean early morning. That's what I mean.
All right, I'll take one more. Marissa, go ahead.
Okay, so you have to be funny without being creepy. Once you become creepy, the girl loses interest.
All right, define creepy.
Stick to funny. You know, don't talk too much about, like, how she looks, because then you sound like a sexual predator.
Yeah. Okay, because listen to me. I would never in a million years do that. Even if I was talking to someone.
Don't send nudes.
Oh, well. Believe me, they don't want me to send nudes.
Boy, the bar's pretty low.
The one thing you don't have to worry about is
your friends and my friends. I think you guys have a new segment. You've got Fart Court. Now you've got dating. You got your own dating app. People just call in. You just had a couple single people call in. You make them mingle a little bit, and who knows? You'll find love with Hutcher and Rich.
Yeah, we could have maybe we'll have my friend on the air one day.
Well, Phil Hendry is my favorite show. Yeah, you're a big fan.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, guys, for talking about me so much.
It's Cold Cuts McCartney.
Yeah, you know.
Yes, you're sick of Linda, yes.
Well, Linda's died. She died.
Oh, that's right. She passed away. That's right. Rest in peace.
I don't know if I'm still with the one-legged lady. All right. Very good. We will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
More Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This son of Dad and Rick Flair, they're nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And it's going to be Zappy Mania unless they play Hoyer, which would be odd with everything that's going on.
But isn't that such a Patriots thing to do? He's the guy who knows the system the best. You know, we got to get him out.
Well, if he's healthy, I'd rather have Hoyer play. I mean, obviously.
Would you? Because
you're trying to win, yes.
Yeah, but for an entertainment aspect, you want Billy Zappe.
Oh, no, not me.
Entertainment aspect, Zappe is the guy you want to start. But as I said on Monday morning, if the Patriots are trying to win the game, they'll slot Hoyer. If they're just trying to develop the kid, they'll start Zappe. I mean, the offense is extremely limited with this kid as the quarterback. And I don't know if a week's going to change that. I mean, they threw the ball 15 times in 3.5 quarters plus the overtime.
Put it this way. I don't have any faith that Brian Hoyer can outscore the highest scoring offense in the NFL.
I mean, look.
But I don't know whether Bailey Zappe could do something stupid. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I'd rather have the unknown than the, I know this guy isn't good.
Look, beggars can't be choosers, but the offense, you can open up the playbook a lot more if Hoyer's the quarterback. You're more multidimensional if Hoyer's the quarterback. I understand he's lost 11 straight starts, but this is where we are
If there's any game to build some confidence with Bailey Zappe to make him feel good, it's against the worst defense in the NFL.
Well, did you see how he was joshing around with Patricia on the sidelines?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Patricia, it. I mean, you got to think, how great does he feel? How great does Belichick feel if Bailey Zappe ends up working out fine? Belichick, of course, because he drafted the guy. And Matt Patricia, because he's like, oh, yeah, look at this. There's something positive happening with the offense. And I am the genius behind it.
Yeah. That's the thing is that if Bailey Zappe plays, in the back of my head, I'm just going to be thinking, and I saw Hurley write the same thing, but I did say this on Monday. I'm just thinking, what if this kid, you know, he threw for, 10,000 yards last year at his nothing school. No one wanted him. He's got a noodle arm. And then he just goes out there and, like, lights up the Lions, who they will beat regardless of what quarterback plays.
Mm-hmm.
They will, because Dan Campbell will assure victory for your New England Patriots. Trust me. He will make decisions during the game. There'll be points in the game that you're not even really paying attention, just you'll just go like, oh, okay, they're punting. And then you'll look at the TV and you'll go, what's going on? Like, was there a penalty? And then you'll go, no, he's going in for 4th and 6. From his own 40. You go, oh, that's Dan Campbell. That's what he does.
You were right about Hardy. He had basically the same statement yesterday during the midday show.
If any other head coach in the NFL was coaching the Lions, making the decisions on the sideline for the Lions in that Minnesota game, Detroit would have won that Minnesota game easily.
Well, that was that bad decision they made at the very end, because they were ahead until the very end, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
And their defense broke down, and Cousins let a drive down the field to run the clock out. But they would have never been in that position at all had they not. They went. I know last week they went for it 6 times, and who knows how many times they went for it against the Vikings. I just watched the end of the game, and I went, oh, wow, the Lions might win. Lions are going to win this game. And then he just continued to do things that made no sense. No sense. No field position game. Nothing.
Do you want to know the best conspiracy theory that I've thrown out there? And it's usually, this is kind of sports talk radio-y, so I'll just forgive me for a moment. But we know now that what is going on between Tom Brady and Giselle seems to be serious. This is not just rumors anymore. There was a report that they're both got divorced. It seems like they're getting a divorce. And it seems like, obviously, you know, that's not, Tampa Bay isn't really where he wants to be. What if nothing really works out with Mac Jones? What if, for some reason, the end of the season, things aren't great, and Tom comes back to New England for a year?
I don't think that's going to
happen. Could you ever see that happening?
No, I can't. Could you picture him, like, all down and out? No. Like, it's like North Dallas 40. Oh,
yes.
It's like not Fred. Taking care of his body anymore.
Yes.
He weighs 50 pounds more than he weighs now.
I want to go where I'm loved. And then Bill picks up the phone. And and then all bygones are bygones. Well, Robert Kraft shows up.
This is not BS. I think the way he's been acting, smashing these tablets, and the way that his attitude's been in Tampa is directly a result of what's going on in his personal life.
I mean, Fred.
So he could go one of two ways. Does he go full TB12 and, like, I'm going to prove to everyone, I'm going to prove to Giselle, and I'm going to, you know, remake my body? Or does he go the other way where he's like, it was all for nothing?
And he just yeah. And he's like, he's fat for all of a sudden.
Yeah, like it becomes like easy money, but in reverse.
Easy money in reverse.
Yeah, like he starts smoking. Like the diet goes out the window. And he shows up in New England. He goes, hell yeah, I'll take it. He's like John Daly. He's at Patriot Place. He lives in a Winnebago. Like,
but you could see him being at like his lowest moment after this, and him getting a phone call from RKK and just being like, just remember, you're always welcome here, Tommy. Oh, and then there being part of him that was like, these were the good days. These were the days where I was happy. And then coming back once more to Gillette Stadium for one final season.
Isn't it weird, though, how much he's expressing during those 3 hours on the field how unhappy he is?
Yes. Yeah. Well, but the only reason I would just dismiss it about it being something about all completely about the marriage is that's how he was his last year here, because he wasn't happy for the football situation he was in. He didn't want to be in Tampa Bay.
Have you been following Eduardo Rodriguez in Detroit?
Yes, he's been horrible.
Well, and he hasn't been playing a lot because he's having marital problems.
He missed, what, the first 2.5 months of the season to take care of it?
Yeah.
I mean, he just disappeared during spring training.
He wasn't answering the Tigers.
Tigers couldn't get a hold of him, and then finally he just showed up in mid-June.
Yeah, so athletes, when they're going through these marital problems, they do tend to flake out. I mean, it has happened.
Yep.
I mean, I think I don't think that he's overly happy with Tampa Bay. I don't think he's overly happy with Todd Bowles being coach. I don't think he's overly happy with his offensive line. I think there's a lot of things that he's not happy with at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, it was easy. He showed up, he had all these weapons, and they went and won a Super Bowl, and now everyone's a year older and people are getting hurt, and their offensive line, you had one guy leave, another guy retire.
Yep.
They had to rebuild the offensive line in front of him. He's getting hit every single week. This isn't like it was 2 years ago.
I mean, how great would it be if at the end of the season he comes back to New England and he brings Tara Reid with him?
Well, Tara Reid is on a street corner somewhere waiting for him.
I heard Tara Reid got offered. This is not a lie. I heard Tara Reid got, just according to an ad on Facebook that was in the corner, that Tara Reid got offered $1 million for a sex tape. And I'm thinking, there's a million women that I would give $1 million for a sex tape over her.
So it'll be the end of Boogie Nights. Tom will be crying on RKK's lap. Right? It's like Dirk Diggler and Burt Reynolds' character.
Yeah. You know, the glory is faded.
I mean, talk about what a cool ending that would be, though. I mean, I don't know how good he would be, but nobody knows how good he would be.
He wouldn't be good.
See, I don't know. I mean, last year he was great.
I mean, he'd be good. He'd be good. He wouldn't be great.
And imagine him being in a place where he does not have to deal with like the things that apparently been stressing him for a while, and that is when are you going to retire? Is this Tommy time or is this family time? I mean, he might go next level.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is he can go one of two ways. Like, I know dudes who've gotten divorced and then, like, weirdly gotten huge because, yeah. like, they just, like, started going to the gym twice a day.
Sure.
Like, and that's, I've like, kind that. Of, that's, like, pretty unhealthy, too.
Yes.
And then I've seen dudes that have gotten divorced and they hang out at the same bar every night eating chicken wings. So there's, like, there's two directions you can
sure.
go. Now, the much funnier one would be if Tom just said, what was all this for? I like,
just like
you know, like now I have three kids and you know, with two women that I'm no longer with. What was this all for?
TB 12 pounds a week.
Exactly.
What he turned into.
And he just, he looks at Guerrero and he holds him responsible and he goes, this could, all right, if you really want to get into fantasy land, he could go, I've never been able to live my life like a normal person, which he has stated.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a Thanksgiving. I've never had a Christmas. I've missed birthdays. Da 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 da. I mean, there could be something in him that says, I've never gotten to live like, despite, he's got more money than he could ever spend. And I know that the whole thing has been, he wanted to play late, and part of the reason for that was to sell this TB12 method. Mm-hmm. But there could be a point where he just goes, I have all the money I ever want. Him and Giselle, they have a prenup, apparently, and each is going to walk away with their own money.
Right.
That neither of them have to worry about it. I guess it would just be custody stuff. Which is important, but it's not financial. So, like, he could go, and who knows, Giselle could, you know, oh boy, it could be a real hassle, because she could go, like, I want to live in Brazil.
And, right, like, right. And then that's an issue.
Yeah, like, that's a whole situation.
Right.
And then that's expensive. So, you want to keep things amicable. But there could be a part of him that is really, like, you know, I've done all of this. I've never lived like a normal guy.
Yeah.
And I just want to party and live like a normal guy for a while. Like, because even when Stern got divorced, him and everybody were going to Scores every day after the show. Like, he was going to strip clubs every day after the show. You know, people react in different ways. When you have that kind of money and that kind of access, who knows?
I just wonder if he's going to do anything to go back to his happy place.
And maybe he fell in love with some broad here. Like, and they were, like, having an emotional affair. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know,
now let's have some fun. What if Tom Brady and RKK talk and, like, they have their bond back again? The flame it's burning. And Tom says, I want to come back, but I don't want Bill to be here.
Ooh.
Oof. After this year, do you think that they would have a problem with that?
Oh, man. That's a tough call.
That is a tough
like
call.
If it can, that is a if, really like tough if it call. Continues, if it continues where, you know, let's say they don't make the playoffs.
Well, they're not making the playoffs.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm just saying if it continues.
Right.
And Tom says that.
If they go 6-11, which the way things are is certainly possible. If they go 6-11 and Tom makes that phone call on Valentine's Day, of course.
And Sean Payton's still sitting there.
I said... RKK would go after, and you yelled and screamed at me and said that was not going to be the case.
Well, so he gets paid, and that means Payton's the GM and the coach.
This owner always wants to be competitive. However, he has stated in the last year or two he wants success to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
If you get rid of Bill and bring in Tom, success will not be sustainable.
If you if you brought Tom in here for his last year, there is not going to be one upset Patriots fan.
No.
If it's him instead of Bill.
No.
Not one.
Not until the year 2025 or 2026.
If he came with Sean Payton. True.
But you would still have Mac Jones. He just wouldn't play for you. It would be unprecedented that you would take a young quarterback who had success and sit him for a year.
Yeah.
I mean, Garoppolo.
How much is Tom asking for in your scenario?
It would be very little.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wouldn't want a ton.
All right.
And I think realistically, he wouldn't want a ton.
All right.
I mean, he never has.
Until he went to Tampa
Bay. Until he did.
Yes.
So what you're doing is you're trading Belichick for Sean Payton and you're getting Tom Brady. What Patriots fan would be upset with that?
No, not until 2 or 3 years from now. No Patriots fan would be upset about this.
If that happened, we'd have 100 share.
Oh, God. You know what? In your scenario, I'm rooting like hell for it because you're right.
I mean, it's because now there's nothing off the table. Like, nothing's off the table. With the way, like, Belichick's been kind of going in this direction, and now Brady's going to be single. We know his contract's up. He's not happy. Who knows? I mean, LeBron James went back to Cleveland. And it was a huge, huge PR pop for him. A massive PR pop for him. And they're friends.
He was also a lot younger than Brady is now.
Yeah, but you're playing the game here. I mean,
that's fair.
Yeah. I think that people would, and Mac backs up Brady, and for a year, yeah, I think that people would buy into that. It would be
chaos.
Fairly unprecedented.
Amazing.
It would be fairly unprecedented, but I would not say that's an impossibility.
No, it's not. It's not even that nuts.
It's pretty nuts, but it's not an impossibility. All because Giselle left him.
Because he wanted to play football.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. She couldn't take it anymore, even with that super chin of his.
I love this scenario. I hope you're right.
Come on, Tommy. Come on back here and let's relive the good old days.
All right. We desperately have to break. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Toucher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe going to be joining the show at 8:20. I will try to get him to get me excited about this Bruins season.
Well, the price of Pastrnak just went up. You had another contract in the end. It's just, I mean, the more that they wait, the tougher it's going to get
Matthew,
for them.
Matthew Barzal, who's a center, he's not a wing, but if you take a look at the numbers, you put his numbers next to Pastrnak's numbers, it's not even close, and Barzal just got $9 million a season from the Islanders.
And Dan made the point that we all know that he was drafted in a position that the Bruins easily could have had.
Yeah, by the way, he went right after Zach Sinishin, who just signed with the Utica Comets of the AHL yesterday. Nice. But since you brought this up, it merits mentioning here, our own Ty Anderson tweeted last night, it is his understanding that the Bruins are going to go high on Pastrnak, and whatever contract they sign him to is going to be the richest in team history. I mean, it sounds to me like, according to Ty here, it sounds to me like, yeah, the price has gone up, but that's not going to keep the Bruins from making a deal.
Well, also, it was Darren Dreger who, I think it was this weekend, had tweeted something that they are closer than they've ever been right now. And most likely, this is me speculating, by closest to the urban, this should probably get done before the season
starts. Well, no, they need to get this done.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be done.
You can't have this hanging over the team once the season starts. I mean, you can't. You need to get this done quickly. And the parameters have been set. McKinnon for Colorado just won a cup and was the best player on the team. He got $12 million. Barzal got $9 million. Obviously, Pastrnak somewhere in the middle. And maybe you split the difference, 10.5. Something like that.
We're a week away.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you need to do this quickly, and I think it will get done quickly because, frankly, the Bruins can't afford not to.
I hope it doesn't affect Foligno's status with the team. Because those were the free agent signings last offseason that were.
Injury-wise, they need him, right?
Like, yes.
He's going to play. Yeah.
Warm bodies at this point. You're without McAvoy. You're without
Marchand.
You're without Grizzlick, although he's practicing again, but he's still at least a month away. You're without Taylor Hall, more than likely, for the first couple of games. I mean, you're
going to have a lack of talent on that team for a nice chunk of the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a tough team to watch. You cherish every point that they get at the beginning of that season.
Yep.
Because they're going to have to make up for it at the end. They're going to have to make a real push to get to the playoffs, which is not ideal in hockey or in basketball, hockey. Those are two sports that you want to be able to take your foot off the gas a little bit at the end of the season. I mean, Marchand was talking about how he had to relearn to skate.
I know, it's always scary.
A double hip surgery, I believe, on him.
I think you're right.
Which has got to be terrible to recover from.
So where would you think the Bruins were ranked? USA Today just came out with their ranking of NHL teams by watchability this season? By which ones are the most watchable this season?
I'm going to guess they're 14th.
Oh, Fred, 15th. They said this year is truly the Bruins' last with this core group. Eight of their forwards, including David Pastrnak, Patrice Bergeron, and David Krejci, will be unrestricted free agents after the season. With the team up against the salary cap as is, it's hard to see everyone getting brought back. It's a shame that then Boston will have to weather a slew of injuries early on in the midst of the toughest division in the NHL. Still, everyone loves a good one-last-ride story, and the Bruins are the epitome of that for the 2022-2023 season.
Yes, Bergeron and Marchand, and you root for those guys. But, I mean, if anyone's excited about David Krejci coming back, then you're excited by anything. Then you just love the sweater.
We are excited about Krejci because it pushes everyone down one. That's the thing. You don't have guys playing minutes they shouldn't be playing.
But he's also 37 years old. And
yes. No, this is
an absolute emergency signing.
Yeah, you're cheating one more year where the rebuild should have started sooner. But this GM and this ownership want to make sure that everyone still has one more shot at it. And they're not even close to the best team in their division, even though they've reloaded with all these guys.
Yeah. No, their division is insane.
Yes.
So
it's the third, I think, by all projections that I've seen, they're third place.
Yeah.
At best. And you were talking about having to make a run. I mean, didn't they have to do that last year, too? I remember pretty much right after the new year, they had to go on a long run. I think they won like 17 out of 26 or something like that to get them back in the playoff picture. I mean, what's the benchmark? Thanksgiving or Christmas?
They always say Thanksgiving, but that's not true.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that's where, if you're not in a playoff position by then, you're in big trouble. Yeah, Bruins proved them wrong, but they really had to play after the new year to get that done.
I'll give you Christmas because Thanksgiving, that's the beginning of the season. I never got that.
Thanksgiving, what are you only like 5 weeks into the season?
Yeah, I never understood why Thanksgiving was such a big deal. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.